For those of you that don't know, I'm Jackie Betts. I'm the city administrator, and this is Darren Cannaparoli. He's our public works director, and we really appreciate all of you wanting to volunteer to be on this new journey, the ad hoc tree advisory board. And I think just so you know a little bit about how we got here, and I think Nancy Eichstead had had a conversation with the mayor, and the mayor had talked to some other individuals last year about becoming a Tree City USA. And then we reached out to Brittany, and Brittany came and did a work session with the city council in October. And at that time, the city council said, yeah, let's move forward. And if you take the piece out of becoming a Tree City USA designation, our desire really is to talk about trees in Gladstone. And we don't have an ordinance in Gladstone. And so this group is going to help us try to create one through this process. So we went out, we advertised, we got a good group of you that wanted to help the city in doing this. And I think what we can do first is kind of go around the room and introduce ourselves and just give a little bit of your background and why you were interested in being on the tree board. So, Eric, do you want to start first?
Sure. My name is Eric Butler. I'm a riparian specialist with Clackamas River Basin Council. I've been doing environmental science and natural resources work for a long time. I'm here representing the Gladstone Parks and Recreation Advisory Board.
I'm Nancy Eichstead, and it's all my fault that we're here. I am retired from Portland State, 18 years up there. And in my retirement, I sort of got involved in the Gladstone Nature Park. And we, you know, do restoration and write grants. And some of the grants could come from places that would give us money if we had a tree board and a tree ordinance. So I'm interested in making sure that that happens.
I'm Justin Prouty, and I currently work for, there we go, Portland General Electric as a forester for them. I work in the region that includes Gladstone. So along with a couple other foresters, I'm likely to be one of the people that would be managing projects for utility vegetation management down here in Gladstone. So my boss, I guess feelers were put out and my boss asked, and that I raised my hand for that. I also have experience as a municipal forester. So enforcing tree codes, implementing tree codes, improving that. So I also just have a kind of general personal interest in this sort of thing, urban forestry in general.
I'm Linda Cosgrove, and I have a special interest in heritage trees. I'm also with the Gladstone Historical Society and the Library Foundation, of which Nancy founded the Library Foundation. And she is one of the many people who have worked endless hours to promote a new library. And we would not have a new library if she hadn't started it several years ago. So that's it.
Thank you.
Hi, I'm Kim Baller. I've lived in Gladstone about 12 years. I live in Trailer Park over there by the Meldrum Bar Park. It's a nonprofit co-op. And I have been interested in trying to convince the board of directors to plant street trees in the park. And I have been faced with a lot of bias and negative attitudes. So when this came up, I thought it would be a really good forum for me to kind of get some ammunition to convince the people on the board a little bit more and the people in the park that planting street trees is a really good idea for our future. And I'm interested, I've been interested in plants pretty much all my life. I'm a retired RN also. Thank you.
Hi, everybody. My name is Brittany Oxford. I work as a community assistance forester for the state's Urban and Community Forestry Program at the Department of Forestry. And I'm sort of here as a supportive role. Our program likes to promote resilience and health in our community forests throughout the state. So a big part of that is helping municipalities to proactively manage their urban forests. So while we can't draft ordinances, we can support in the process of drafting and reviewing. And we also administer the Tree City USA program. And I can talk a little bit about why ordinances are important. I can answer questions through this process. Personally, I am very attached to trees. I'm a big tree nerd and very passionate about what I do. So I'm really happy to hear from you all and support Gladstone however we can. And I'll pass it to Allison, who we just hired.
Hi, I'm Allison Harrell. I'm also a community assistance forester with Oregon Department of Forestry. I am mostly here as a listening ear. It's only my third week at this agency, but I do have a vested interest in this as well. I'm here to support you and all the things that Brittany just mentioned, but I've been a commercial, residential, and municipal contractor arborist consultant for almost 15 years. So I do have some experience with some of this, but I'm really excited to hear about the process that you're all going through, and hopefully we can provide you with some more network and opportunities to really build this the right way. Yeah, thanks for letting me be here.
I guess if we don't know the answers to your questions, we have a wide network of people who will, so happy to help.
I'm Darren Cannaparoli. I'm the Public Works Director here at Gladstone. I've been here for about 3.5 years. I'll be the point person for this board going forward. Looking forward to working with you all and getting a lot accomplished.
Thank you, Darren. And Sandy Dittmar was also appointed. She's a Gladstone resident and a wholesale nursery professional. She couldn't make it to this meeting. We're recording. We'll send it to her. She's very excited about participating. And one of the things at the end of this meeting is to talk about what works best for you guys in future meetings. We all have a different role to play here. My role is going to be to actually draft the ordinance and present that to the city council. And then Brittany's going to talk a little bit at this meeting about why the ordinance is important for that. On the agenda, kind of wanted to list out what the roles and responsibilities for this group will be. And that is, at some point, we will do some community engagement and public outreach when we get to a point where we feel like we may have a draft ordinance, and also just to get feedback on what should be included in that. You'll make recommendations on the tree ordinance. An exciting project, I think, is approved species list and maybe a prohibited species list for planting in publicly owned spaces. I did bring copies that I'll give you at the end of the meeting. We printed out what is a recommended tree list that Gladstone has, but it's not adopted like Clackamas County has an adopted list. So we're going to give you both of those resources because our street list is made off of what the county is approved, but I don't think it's as comprehensive as the county. So this will be given to you at the end of the meeting. This is an advisory group, so the city council has said, go forth, do your work, and then come back and tell us what you think we should do. And in order to do that, we do have a timeline. We want to meet monthly, and again, we'll talk about the date and the time. We do have a check-in with the city council in July on the 23rd. And then we are coming back in October to consider the tree ordinance. The city has to file its application for Tree City USA by December 15th of this year. So we feel like that's a good timeline for us to get together. But Brittany, why don't you talk a little about, because documents that you provided were Independence and Monmouth ordinances. So why don't you talk a little bit about the importance of an ordinance and why we chose those two for Gladstone to work with?
Sure. So I guess first I want to back up maybe a little bit and just talk about the planning and managing process of an urban forest. And I sort of see that as three parts. And the first is assessment, so knowing what you have. So that could be inventories, canopy assessments, things like that, that'll help inform processes like these. And it doesn't so much, in Gladstone, I could see the ordinance coming first, but it's something to keep in mind. The second thing that we'll want to know is what Gladstone's community needs are and wants. So what do you want the community forest to look like? So that's where this like community engagement piece comes into play. And then the third is that bigger like planning and goal setting. So that could look like an urban forestry management plan or an ordinance. So having an ordinance is a really great first step. And why are ordinances important, right? So ordinances typically will reflect the values that are in place within a community. And urban and community forests are valuable because they provide human health benefits, such as decreased risk for respiratory and heart illnesses, increased mental well-being, climate resiliency, so reducing heat risk, sequestering carbon, reducing the amount of pollutants in our air and water. They also provide financial benefits to us, so people want to stay around and shop in areas that are treed. They want to have those heat reductions. So maybe you're not running air conditioners as often. So a little financial benefits there as well. And so an ordinance is just going to help you maximize all of those benefits that come from urban forestry while also minimizing costs and risks that come with trees. So we want to be mindful about how we're doing that. And that's what an ordinance really is for.
And just a couple of comments about the engagement. So like I've already had one person come to me and say, you know, I don't walk my dog on this street because there's no shade and it's really hot in the summertime and it's hard on his paws. Mm-hmm. So that's the kind of engagement that we're going to encourage to get comments from. The other balancing act, and Justin, this is why it's great that you're here, is that we don't want to overpopulate with trees because Lake Oswego had an issue with this last storm, right? Mm-hmm. A lot of trees fell in yards. They had a fatality. And so in Gladstone, we've been able to, no pun intended, weather quite well in storm events because we're very thoughtful about where our trees are. PGE does an excellent job of coming in and maintaining those areas. So we want to be cognizant that we're looking at both of that. And Darren and I can bring that balance to the conversation about making sure that we're looking out from an emergency perspective too with the trees.
Yeah, I think it's important to say that maintenance and proactive maintenance is a very important piece to this because that's kind of the reducing the risks and costs associated with trees. Because if we're actively getting ahead of those things, making sure things are healthy, doing tree risk assessments and things like that, it's going to help prevent costs and, you know, casualties and things like that we don't want in our communities. And then as far as the ordinances that I shared with you, I guess something to note is that we don't have to start from nowhere, right? Like there are communities around Oregon that have ordinances, and what we can do is start to just kind of look at them and think about how that would work in Gladstone and maybe change some things around or fit the community needs, because what we want the ordinance to do is reflect Gladstone's specific needs. And then I chose Monmouth and Independence, was it, that I shared with you? Because they're similar sized communities, and I think their city structures are similar. That being said, if we look at those and we're, you know, unsure of certain things and we want to look at other communities, we can do that as well. But I think it's a good place to start because they're similar in size and structure. And they're Tree City USA, so it's a standard. They meet all of those qualifications in that ordinance.
Any questions so far?
Yeah, I have a question for Brittany and Allison. I recently heard a story. We're all here because we love trees, but I heard a story about a person from the last ice storm who, after everything was taken care of, they saw a drone flying over their property, and they got a letter after that from their insurance company saying, we're not going to cover you anymore because you have too many trees in your yard. And I just wonder if the state has encountered this and what kind of response there would be, because that, you know, we all see the good side, but there are folks out there that are working against us.
Yeah, thank you for bringing that up. I think this last ice storm, we've had a lot of inquiries, a lot of concern about trees, and, you know, rightly so. I mean, these extreme events, and this past one specifically was mostly the high winds that caused the issues, because we had saturated soils, high winds, and tree roots can only withstand a certain amount of that. But I would say a response to that specific situation would be to have a qualified ISA certified arborist come and do a tree risk assessment qualification. So actually quantifying if that tree is a risk or what percent of risk it is, so that they can then take that information back to their insurance person and say, actually, this professional disagrees with you, and this is what they, you know, are having an informed decision as to what to do with that tree and if it's actually at risk of falling in a future storm.
I want to make a point that we should also think about the larger picture also, because there are actually insurance companies canceling homeowners policies all over the United States, especially in Florida. There's a lot of people that cannot get homeowners insurance at all to purchase a home because of the climate in Florida, because of hurricanes and all that stuff and all these things. So it's not just us and too many trees in somebody's yard, that it's sort of a trend of the insurance companies currently.
That's why I think it's important to also find the balance, because what we're trying to incorporate here is for public trees. And sometimes when residents hear that the government is working on a tree ordinance, they think that we're going to try to govern private property, and that's really not the intent here. But I still think that it's an opportunity to educate and to provide those people with resources that they need. So where do we go from here? Some questions that I have is what kind of information do you need besides what we originally gave you in this packet? Yes.
Because my primary interest is in heritage trees, I did look it up on the computer. Everybody knows we have the powwow tree, but there's also a tree supposedly on Exeter that I couldn't find, which is supposed to be a documented heritage tree. I was wondering if in our next city letter that goes out, we could run a little advertisement asking people to nominate trees that they might consider to be heritage trees.
Can I clarify, does Gladstone have their own heritage tree program, or are you talking about state heritage tree?
We do. Well, the powwow tree, I believe, is a state heritage tree.
We
do not have a heritage tree program.
Okay.
And I didn't see it really reflected very much in the paperwork here.
I'm also on the heritage tree committee for the state. So if you have questions about that, I can help too.
Thank you.
I think, Darren, you can answer that, but you have an arborist that we contract with to take care of the powwow tree.
Yeah. So we maintain the powwow tree, obviously, and that is a heritage tree. And I'm sure there are others in town. I don't know where they are or anything like that. I'm curious about that one on Exeter. So, but I when I went through the ordinances and the two sample ordinances, it talked about the heritage trees and all of that stuff as part of those ordinances. I think that'll be important to keep that and to have that piece in there, so that we don't lose those trees and that those trees, you know, stay part of the community. So,
well, this is why I'm hopeful that people will nominate a tree, and then we can look at it and make a decision.
Brittany, how do trees become on the state registry?
Yeah, so you submit an application to the Travel Information Council's Heritage Tree Committee, and then we review it once a year, provide feedback. But the sort of state's heritage tree program is maybe more rigid as far as what they'll accept as a heritage tree, whereas I see like local communities will have their own programs. that you could define like what that means for Gladstone. So that's a potential option, but you just submit an application to the state's Heritage Tree Committee. We review it and then provide feedback or tell you we are going to accept this and nominate it or not every year.
So do you guys have criteria then and all of that?
Yeah, we do. And I can send the application and the criteria out to this group, but it's really just like, what's the connection and significance to Oregon history? You know, why is this tree considered significant in your area? Things like that. So it could be size and uniqueness of right. that tree, but I think they really are looking for more diverse stories and the human history part of it has to
right.
be reflected there.
But
too.
If we wanted to go and have our own registry for the city, we could use that as kind of a template.
Yeah, definitely.
Started with that is kind of where I was going with.
Yeah, you could.
And I think, Linda, where you're headed is as a group, you're hoping that one of the recommendations that goes back to council outside of heritage trees being addressed in an ordinance is that the city consider creating a local program. Correct. That's kind of what I'm hearing.
This would be nice. I know that Portland actually has a walking path for their heritage trees, and Gladstone is a walking city. So if we were able to locate some trees and incorporate into our walking path of Gladstone, this would be an attraction to many people.
And I can share I guess drafts of other local programs too, if you're interested in seeing those.
Is that something that we could have a subcommittee of the history folks could come back to us with recommendations on that?
That's what I would suggest, yes.
Well, the descriptions that I ran into for the heritage trees was size, shape, age, associated history, or with an event or with a person. These are the phrases that I ran into for the heritage tree. And if everybody were to nominate, or those people interested were to nominate a heritage tree, then we could look into it.
It seems like the folks with the Historical Society would have the best knowledge, though, about what could be nominated in Gladstone, too. So
I've also seen like heritage tree committees. So it could be you could have people from the historical side. You could have arborists or other tree focused or parks folks on that committee that review the applications and things. So I feel like there's a couple of different departments that could fit into.
Eric.
I had a thought, but just lost it.
Gets worse as you get older.
I guess I'll step in then. I guess my question for moving forward is more like, what is the current status? How are you managing trees currently in the public right of way? I assume, Darren, that that's probably broadly under Public Works is often kind of, even if there is a formal forestry department, that's what I'm expecting. But so like knowing where we are now, and then maybe if you're the goal coming out of this is to increase canopy, increase planting, you know, kind of to your earlier point, Brittany, you know, where are those spaces available? What trees exist? Where are we focusing those sort of efforts? I think that's going to be an important piece of putting this all together.
Yeah. So for the most part, street trees, those right now are the property owner's responsibility. So we don't do a lot with them. When I say not a lot, there would be basically nothing. And then as far as parks is concerned, it's more reactive than proactive, minus the powwow tree and things like that. But for the most part, it's reactive, and we need to become more proactive than reactive. So that'll help. This will help with that. Again, it's going to take manpower to be able to do that, you know, to be more proactive, but it needs to be done. And I think with this ordinance, should help some of that, especially on the street tree side. It'll be interesting to see, because in those sample ordinances, it talks about the property owner being, one of them, I think, talked about the property owner being responsible. And another one said that the city was responsible as far as maintenance is concerned. that's a huge maintenance cost in the long run if the city is having to maintain all of those trees. I would vote on the side of having the property owner do it. But I think there needs to be strict rules into what they can and can't do with, especially with the street trees.
Did you remember? All right.
Yeah, I had a thought kind of along those lines too, given that a lot of the conversation around urban tree canopy these days is kind of an infrastructure perspective, like understanding all these benefits that Brittany talked about, that they're really as vital an asset to cities as things like sidewalks and power lines and everything are. And so given that I think the specifics of a tree policy would be really about street trees, but I think there's room for some sort of larger canopy goal and maybe some kind of incentive-based system to encourage people to plant more trees or take care of the trees that they already have outside of that street buffer as well. And so that might be something like, if you have a big tree and you commit to taking care of it, you get a discount your stormwater bill or something like that.
Yeah, personally, I see the ordinance piece as focused on publicly owned trees, so parks and streets and things. But then I think an important piece to like an urban forestry management plan and goal is to have those outreach and incentive programs for trees on private properties. That's kind of how I see those pieces working together.
One thing I wondered is if trees are required as part of planning when there's new development in town, because somebody yesterday said, why aren't there more trees along McLaughlin? Every car dealership doesn't want them. But if you've ever had to go to the bus or walk that, it can be brutal in the summertime. And I don't know where we are with that in planning.
Yeah, so in the planning code, there is street tree requirements for any new construction that comes in. I can't speak for McLaughlin because, I mean, that's ODOT, and I don't know how that carries over with the city. So that is a little bit different as far as McLaughlin is concerned. But I know anything that's going in locally, there is street trees that have to be included in that.
So I understand the maybe the biome that we're thinking about that is in the city of Gladstone, I think was known as Oak Savanna. And there are a lot of really great oak trees in the city limits that it would be a terrible shame if we lost those. I think most of those actually are on private property also. And during the ice storm that we had, 4 years ago, several of those uprooted from the ice. So there's probably some homeowners' reluctance to maintain trees that big, and that you think because they're a native tree and they're an oak tree that they're going to last forever, that they're not going to keel over in an ice storm. And I'm sure it's very expensive to take care of one of those trees that has uprooted. And so anyway, so I think those, you know, I think heritage trees are extremely important to, you know, for the average person to recognize. But I think we also should also keep in mind the sort of in the background, those really important trees like those native oaks that kind of really do define, they're kind of in the background. People don't really notice them that much until maybe one day they're like, well, wow, there's just a whole bunch of oak trees here. And then, so anyway, but to kind of refocus, so the part that we're talking about mainly is parks and then the strip between the curb and the sidewalk. Is that correct? That some people call the hell strip.
That is correct.
Okay.
Yeah, it's difficult because, and a lot of people don't know that they're responsible for that. And then you've got trees that were planted many years ago that are uprooting the sidewalks, and then the sidewalk becomes their issue to fix as well. And I'll give another example. So last year we did flower baskets on Portland Avenue, and it's the first time for beautification. Well, some of our city trees blocked the flower baskets. And I said, Darren, let's go trim those trees. And he's like, the property owner's responsibility. So we couldn't just go out and say, hey, we hung these flower baskets, now go hire somebody to trim your tree so we could look at them. And so those are the kinds of things that we're working through, that strip that you called it. Yes, it's the planter strip, and it is the parks as well. And I also wanted to clarify, Brittany, that if we have an ordinance in place and we have working on an inventory plan, there is money available from the state to help the city with doing the urban forestry management plan, planting more trees, correct?
Yeah, thank you for bringing that up, because I feel like that needs to be maybe a separate meeting where I meet with Darren and you or other folks within the city. But I have a lot of thoughts from what was just said. I'll get into the funding here in a second. But for what you were describing about maybe you have certain species of trees that are more valuable for certain reasons, so there's ways that we can approach that. And I've seen that happen within the code. So for example, the city of Salem has special requirements around Quercus garryana or Oregon white oak. So we can look at those ordinances and see if that would be something to work in. Another thing I'm just trying to, is with the planting strips. Something that I think is a really important piece to this is having that approved street tree list and having that include specifications on widths and what species can go in what size class of those planting areas. And then having that live external from the ordinance, so it's more flexible and could be updated regularly and reviewed regularly. And so that's a big important piece to that. And as far as inventory support, we have a free to use inventory tool. And our program is here to help in the collection process, depending on if you want to do that with a contractor, with in-house staff, or with volunteers. We can explore options on how that would work in Gladstone and how we can support you in getting that. We also have a canopy assessment tool that's going to be available at the end of this year. So you'll have canopy data in your community, free to use. And then we have state and federal funding coming into our program. The first is through the Inflation Reduction Act program. So we have $26 million coming in. $10 million is going to be for federally recognized tribes. And then the remaining amount will be all other eligible entities. So Gladstone could apply for that, depending on if your city is considered disadvantage from the U.S. Forest Service, and we could talk about options for that and how to, who's eligible, what projects you could use that for. But developing an urban forestry management plan, conducting an inventory, writing an ordinance, all of that could be applied for with this grant. And then there's some state funding through the Department of Land Conservation and Development's Community Green Infrastructure Grant Program, which is similar but different and more focused on green infrastructure. So a lot of that has to do with native nurseries. Trees are included in that, but not limited. So it could be stormwater projects as well. So that, I think we can set up another meeting to flesh it out and see what Gladstone's eligibility is and what projects you'd be interested in and how that process will work. But the request for proposals for that, we're looking at end of May, June timeline.
Yeah. So there's a lot of future potential mm-hmm. with this. And this is the first step for us, is trying to get back to where are we and where are we trying to go. And for this group, we have to create that ordinance
yep.
and get that set in motion. So,
yeah.
Okay. Yay. Thanks. I just had a couple of thoughts. Brittany already brought one up that I had written down, which is the importance of having a little bit of flexibility within your ordinance. You don't get pigeonholed into something weird, which I have seen many times. One thing as it relates to with Oregon oak, it just because I've worked in the forest health side of things for a really long time, something around invasive species. We know that Mediterranean oak borer is killing Gary oaks in Oregon City, Wilsonville, so not that far from here. So something you'll definitely want to take into consideration as you're putting your plan together. And then as Darren was talking about, so the parkway strips are responsibility of homeowners to manage right now. Okay. So again, just thinking about that in a responsible way, especially as we talk about this sort of like environmental justice and equity kind of things, right? These disadvantaged neighborhoods are already neighborhoods that have a low canopy cover, but then we're going to be like, congratulations, we're getting money to plant a tree, but then the onus is on them to maintain it. So basically we've potentially disadvantaged them even more. So just say like, think about that as you're putting things together. And also the grant money, some of it potentially can, it actually can be used for maintenance and removals of hazardous or high-risk trees as well. So just something to consider as you're looking at funding opportunities. Sorry, that was like a lot of...
Since, before this meeting, I actually, I've read several places that in by 2050, our climate is going to be very similar to Sacramento, California. So I actually looked up the tree ordinances in Sacramento, and it's quite extensive. A lot of stuff. The city does prune trees on the Hill Strip once a year, and they don't do any pruning on people's private property at all. They do provide some trees for free, and they also have a website where you can select the type of tree you want, and also you can select for non-invasive roots that are not going to raise the sidewalk, which you can see all over in cities with mature trees. And, you know, a lot of people don't want that, don't want to have a tree that's going to do that because it costs a lot of money, you know, so, and it's not necessarily a permanent thing. And it does kind of damage the tree many times by having to cut the roots so you can put a new sidewalk back in there. So I think, you know, that's something to keep in mind, you know, focus on the strip that for the ordinance initially, and trees that are not going to be a hassle to the property owners.
I'll kind of hop in on some of these comments too. I think, I'd say that the not getting pigeonholed part into an overly complicated ordinance, I'll bring up City of Portland as like a really good example of a well-meaning ordinance, you know, something that should, in my opinion, for the kind of environmental values people have in you know, the Pacific Northwest, doesn't have a lot of public support because it's overly complicated. It's too difficult to kind of interpret for the average person. One thing I will say they do pretty well, though, I think, is some of these free tree planting programs in the right of way sort of thing. I actually worked there a brief, you know, 6 month kind of stint there before I moved on. But I think they did a very good thing of they were providing free trees and maintenance, you know, establishment maintenance, basically. They were watering the trees in, doing some early kind of pruning and things like that as an incentive for people to actually want to plant trees in that strip, knowing that it may be a hard sell if, say, hey, down the road, it may cause sidewalk issues. That's your responsibility. It might drop, you know, whatever on your car, might, you know, all the kind of negative things. So I think ahead of this is kind of educating the public on the value of urban trees, that it's important. I will say, like, I understand from a public work standpoint, like, just taking on all the street trees in your budget is probably just a non-starter. I don't know the financial situation in the city, but it's expensive. It's pretty expensive if you're hiring contractors in-house, you know, probably not going to happen at all, I wouldn't think. But it does make it difficult to sell to people when you say, here's this tree, it's going to be great. You know, sidewalks on you in 15 years. So that tree selection stuff is super important. I think reviewing that list, there's tons of great stuff from the ISA. And I'm sure both of you have great internal state resources too for, you know, the width of your strip versus the tree species you're going to put there. Of course, given the PGE side of things, being cognizant of power lines. I'm excited to meet the person who runs the nursery that will join us, maybe giving us some insight. There's stuff that Portland has on their list that I would not consider a utility-friendly tree that still makes it on there. I think a lot of that data that exists is not exactly accurate for Oregon. These trees grow taller than we might expect with our climate. But kind of lost my train of thought, but I think, yeah, just tree selection and considering incentives for people to want to plant is going to be important.
Yeah, I think that's a good point. Because as much as we want, maybe the ideal, in an ideal world, maybe Gladstone maintains all of the publicly owned trees, but that might not be a reality for capacity or funding at the moment. So
it's not,
right?
Just be honest with
you. And that's the case in a lot of cities throughout, or I mean, even Portland, the adjacent property owner is responsible for the trees. So and they are changing that slowly and have like a targeted approach to certain neighborhoods that are financially disadvantaged for the maintenance that the city is going to start taking on. But they also just received funding for that. So, and then the other thing is, yeah, street tree list. We have a state street tree list that we're sort of developing for the whole state with considerations. So we have sort of a task force put together to review that list right now. And so that's a resource through our program. We know a lot of public works folks, municipal foresters, people with utilities that all have experience in the Willamette Valley and throughout other places in the state and what they've experienced with certain species and what'll work for where. So happy to help in developing and refining that list here too.
I feel like along with the street tree list, it'd be worth having some sort of diversity requirement, like a 30-20-10 rule, so that you're not planting 100,000 maples and nothing else.
Yeah, and that's actually a good point for the inventory, because you want to know what percent of genus you have, like what is the makeup of Gladstone's urban forest right now? And if we want to increase diversity and reduce risks to pests and pathogens that could come in, you have to sort of know what that looks like right now before you can have those goals set in place, but definitely.
And Darren and Jackie, I'm wondering if we will have a website where we can put some of this information so that homeowners will know, you know, what they're responsible for and what's, and then the street tree list once it's developed, and maybe a link to the Portland plant list. And there's a very concerning tree that's all over town, the tree of heaven. And people don't know what it is until it's like upheaving their garage and whatever. And if we could do something about that, it would be good. There's lots of them out there.
So that would be something to put on your prohibited list for sure.
So again, I come in from this lens of creating an ordinance. And so am I hearing correctly that when you prepare an ordinance that you don't want to actually list the trees in your ordinance, but you just want to maintain an official list of desirable trees?
Yeah. So you want to reference that you have a list in your ordinance, but don't put the actual list in the ordinance, because it'll be harder to update.
Yes. Okay.
One thing also is, it's like I believe it was a state website that recommended native trees, and on the list was the Oregon ash, which is going to disappear one of these days, sooner or later. So, I mean, you were talking about the oak borer. So we don't really know what's going to happen in the future, what invasive animal is going to come. So we, you know, but there's those two we do know. I'm not so sure that, well, I don't really know that much about the oak borer, but I know the emerald ash borer, you know, basically cannot be stopped. And it's destroyed like 99% of the ash trees in the northern states. So the same thing's going to happen here sooner or later. But
yeah.
But rather than focus on the list, I mean, it's really attractive to come up with the list of street trees, but I'm kind of on the same page as Jackie that we should initially focus on an ordinance that's going to work for the city of Gladstone rather than the list of trees.
Well, I think I see the list being included within the ordinance. So you sort of have to have at least a base list to start with so that it can get updated and changed, but just referencing within the ordinance, these are the trees that can be planted. These are, you know, like you don't want to be planting ash right now at all because of the emerald ash borer and other threats like that.
They,
It was there. They didn't even take it. They didn't. They after I emailed them, they said, "Oh, we should take that off."
Okay. I just want to make a clarifying statement, and thank you for bringing that up. Yes, absolutely. I've been dealing with Emerald Ash Borer for my entire career because I came from the Midwest. So, yes, Emerald Ash Borer is going to decimate 99%+ of the ash. So we should definitely remove that from the planting list. With Mediterranean Oak Borer, you're correct. We don't know what's going on. So we have not removed. We still want to continue to plant and support our native oaks here. Absolutely. But just what I was suggesting is putting in some sort of safety net or statement as you put your ordinance together around resiliency for invasives in general. And I think what Eric brought up earlier about certain index percentages and things like that will help to address that.
And I guess I could just make a quick comment about the native versus non-native conversation too. I think it's really important to have and support our native species, but there's places for them that make more sense because the reality of a lot of these urban environments is that it's really harsh and there's trees that have been sort of bred and do really well in those environments that I think it's just really right tree, right place is the model that I have. So, you know, native trees should be prioritized in parks and things like that. And then street trees, I think, is a different consideration because they might not do as well in those harsher urban environments, depending on what the tree is.
Yeah, and the adaptive sort of.
Yeah, yeah, for climate.
For climate.
So process-wise, are you paper people or do you look at electronic documents? So like for this meeting, we sent you a lot of information, but we can print you a packet if you would prefer to have a packet. Okay. Would you like us to print you a packet of what we had for today's meeting that has Independence and Monmouth?
I printed it out. My inkwell did not.
I have quite a bit. I printed it out. My inkwell is getting down there. So maybe in the future, if you have a lot, if you would print it out for me, I would appreciate it.
Okay.
I've had more than three pieces of paper on my desk. I never find anything in.
Okay. Nancy. Okay. Jonic. Looking at your paper, I think you need to go electronic. Okay, so that's helpful. The other conversation that we wanted to have is we'd like to meet monthly. Are Fridays good for this group?
Yeah.
Okay, so if we established, is today the, what is today? The first Thursday of April, if we did the first Thursday of each month at 11, sorry, Friday. And I will check because I want to make sure that this was a one-off for Sandy, that she couldn't make it on a Friday. Do you like meeting in person versus Zoom? Okay. So first Friday in May, 11 a.m. And July 23rd is the work session with council. So hopefully all of you will be able to make that. What I would suggest is you start looking at, are there other ordinances you want us to send you besides the two that you have?
I might say if there's trees that are mentioned in current Gladstone code, like in planning, the planning codes you referenced, that would be helpful.
So we need a copy of the planning code to trees. I'm going to send you, in this packet, there is a sample ordinance. That's what I'm going to be building off of. But I would say the best way to get ideas is to look at what others have and make note of what you like and would want to incorporate into Gladstone. To trees.
We'll say too that Urban Green Spaces Institute recently published a review of municipal tree codes throughout the city. It's very high level, but it's kind of a comparison of what's going on with the various neighboring cities and jurisdictions and looking at where what's working well, what's not across the larger metro area. So
what was that? I'm sorry.
The Urban Green Spaces Institute recently published a review of jurisdictional tree codes throughout the metro area, both city and county level, and where they exist and where they don't. I was happy to report to the group that we're not one of the empty spots anymore.
Will we be doing a survey, community survey?
I would suggest at the next meeting we add community survey and you think about what questions you would like to be on that survey. Have you done a community survey before, Brittany?
I have not in this similar capacity, but I've seen a lot of communities that have done that and supported that process, so can plug in there. One thing is maybe think about if there's an incentive that you could provide. That would be good.
For filling out the survey?
Yeah.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. Oh. Like a gift card to a grocery store or something. Free. Yeah.
Can even be a raffle. So that way you only have like one gift card. But
well, we have a phenomenal new employee that handles some community engagement. And she can help build the website. She can help develop the community survey. I'm just trying to make note of some things that you guys would like for the in prep for the next meeting. So the planning code to our trees. We're going to give you these handouts of what's currently allowed in Gladstone. Any other ordinance? Do I hear that you guys will Google your own searches to see what you like? I will print you a packet.
So, oh, sorry.
I think that needs to come at the end of this ad hoc committee recommendation. I think we're too soon to put that out into, it may be one of the questions that you put into the community survey that we're going to talk about, but I wouldn't nominate trees yet because we don't have criteria or we don't have a program or anything in place.
But we can send you the criteria to look at.
Yeah, I'll bring some resources for that to the next meeting.
Yes, and I think we can include it in the community survey as a question in there.
So Jackie, how do we communicate, say if we wanted to communicate with each other?
That's a great question because you can't.
You can't.
We have to meet as a group. Two of you can talk.
I mean like email or electronically or it's, something like
it's,
that.
It would be considered a public meeting if you're communicating with various peoples of an ad hoc committee.
Okay.
And that's why I would suggest if you want to share something with the group, you send it to me and let me distribute it.
Okay.
I can do it that way.
That'll work.
Side conversations with one of you is okay to have, but then again, most of the work is supposed to be done in a public setting. So just be cognizant of those conversations.
I just had one comment. If you're going to look at some other codes that are outside of Oregon, which is totally fine, I would try to find some that are a little bit more comparative in size and similarity. Like Sacramento is a great sort of jump off, but Sacramento is about the same size as Portland. So the right. Exactly. So maybe like a suburb of Sacramento might have something more adjacent.
I've been in some cities in San Francisco, California, years and years ago, had this incredible tree canopy within the city limits. For some reason, I remember the town of Clint Eastwood, Carmel,
yeah,
Carmel.
By Pebble yeah. Beach.
The tree canopy they had in that city, like 40 years ago, was, I was just like, my jaw dropped. I was made that.
I feel like I have a little bit money.
Carmel, yeah.
Can I ask a question about the tree list? What does the like planting strip situation in Gladstone even look like? Like, what are the available planting sites look like?
It's
all over the place.
Yeah, it's all over the place.
Okay.
As far as I mean, some areas have parking strips, some don't. Some of them are, you know, 4 foot, 5 foot wide. Others are 2 foot wide. So mm-hmm. it varies
okay.
amongst the whole city.
Right.
But an individual is not required to get a permit to do anything with their tree. Is that correct?
Currently, not unless they're bringing in equipment to have to prune it or take it down or anything like that. But I think that's something we're going to want to look at with the ordinances of permitting so that, one, we know what's going in, and two, because they are working in our right-of-way, we're going to want to have something there in place for that. I would think that would be a very good idea.
I think one last thought is community engagement really needs to be an integrated and ongoing part of the process, not just have a one-and-done survey. So if all the research I've read suggests that really the biggest key to successful in maintaining and growing an urban tree canopy is having community buy-in. Especially if it's something that's very top-down and people don't feel included, then it's just you're going to be beating your head against a wall.
And that's a good point. The cross-pollination with this, I'm just full of them. Did not mean to say that either, is that we also have a stakeholder advisory committee that's focused on creating a town center on Portland Avenue and also becoming compliant with our climate-friendly, equitable community rules. That group, will also probably like to provide input on this too. Mm-hmm. So that's another way where we can get community engagement on that.
I would say too, if you're looking at grant money and things like that to improve tree coverage, like looking at your infrastructure, like improving planting sites on the right of way, like even if you plant appropriate trees, you still might end up with a nightmare if you have a 2.5 foot stretch. And, you know, I probably don't have to tell you how hard it is to get residents to try to repair their sidewalks when it's, you know, $20,000 or something like that to do a 15 foot stretch. So I think it's a good place. It gives you a lot more opportunities for those urban street side trees.
That's great. Yes.
Yeah. Never plant a $100 tree in a $10 hole.
So maybe it might make sense to talk about, community engagement strategy through this process, the next meeting. The survey could be a good starting point.
Okay. I've got my to-do list. You have your to-do list. Is there anything else anybody wanted to share for this meeting?
So all the resources I should send to you. Great.
That'd be great. Yep.
I'd like to invite you all to Arbor Day at the end of April.
Where is that happening, Nancy?
It's at the Nature Park.
Okay.
It's April 27 from 9 a.m. to 2 p.m. We have 20 vendors. Dozens of nurseries have donated plants. We're going to plant a tree. And the city council is going to help with that. So kids are invited to come and throw a shovel of dirt on the tree and get a sticker. And the baseball team is bringing their concessions, so you won't go hungry.
Actually, that brings up a good point. If we're planning on applying for Tree City USA in December, you'll want to have a proclamation.
Next Tuesday.
Okay, great. Night. And then take pictures of that event to submit with your application.
Yeah, it's on the council agenda.
Great.
For Tuesday night, and we included the flyer for the Arbor Day event, so
hopefully someone from our team can go. I'll be in Pendleton's Arbor Day celebration that day, but yeah.
Pendleton has trees?
Yes. They're actually the Tree City of the Year for last year.
Mm-hmm. Really?
They got a lot of IRA funding and they're planting
outside
them.
Shouldn't. It's all wheat fields though,
right? Yeah, right. Yeah. Okay, cool.
Great. Well, thank you everyone for coming. Appreciate it. And I will send out a meeting invite for a reoccurring meeting on the first Friday at 11 a.m. Great. Thank you.
Thank you.